Our verse today is Isaiah 50. If you have a blue Bible, I invite you to open it up there, or any Bible. It's page 598. Isaiah chapter 50. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 9 this morning. We'll get to that in just a little bit. So it's Confirmation Sunday. This is the first, we have a 3-year confirmation cycle at Cross of Christ where you start in 6th grade and you go through 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and we teach the Bible to the kids, Old and New Testament. We teach the small catechism, which is a summary of the Christian faith. It's the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, communion, and confession. And we teach modern issues this last year, and then the kids write a statement of faith. So this is the first 3-year cycle where I've gotten to be here for all 3 years and see them. They were the first kids that I met when I first came to Cross of Christ in my first confirmation retreat up to Prescott was with them 3 years ago. So what a joy to get to know them and be a part of their lives, and it's been a privilege and an honor. We're also, this Lenten season, looking at the one who serves. And by that, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus, in these texts from Isaiah we've been looking at, is described in various ways. His service is described in various ways. He is among us as one who comes to serve. And today, we're looking at a way that he serves us that is very appropriate for confirmation. And I told the confirmation students getting ready this morning, just listen to everything I say today and you'll be okay. Listen to every single word. And that pertains to the message too, because this is really for you. It's for all of us, but it's really for you. Because the way Jesus sustains us, and one of the ways he does, and one of the ways he serves us, is by helping us when we are tested. By helping us when our faith is tested. So that's what we'll be digging into this morning. Isaiah 50 is a song. It's a song that God sang to his people when they had been faithless, when they had forgotten about him, when their faith was weak, it had grown cold. They were rebellious. They didn't think God could reach out and save them and change their situation and redeem and restore them. And God comes to them when they're in that state, and he sings these songs of a servant who had come to deliver them in spite of themselves, and what that servant would do to deliver his people. And that servant, we know looking back, this was 700 years before Jesus, but we know now about 2,000 years after him that the servant is Jesus. And he's the one who's speaking here in Isaiah 4. So let's listen to his voice. Verse 4, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment, and the moss will eat them up." Stop there. So this is the servant talking about the testing that he would go through. That he would be beaten, he would be spit upon, he would be mocked and rejected. Our confirmands can tell you that has nothing to do with confirmation at Cross of Christ. And the way that we treated them, right? Right. That had nothing to do with it. So what does this have to do with confirmation? Well, you all have been tested. Friday night, their family and friends got to gather together over in the Commons, and each of the 12 students that will be up here today gave a statement of faith. They wrote down on paper what they believe about God, about their need for His grace in Jesus, and then each of them summoned up the courage to stand in front of a room of about 85 people and deliver that statement. And they did incredible. It's always one of the more inspiring evenings of the year for me. And my prayer with the parents before that night was just, help us to soak this in and enjoy this night. And we did, and it was awesome. So leading up to that, I mean, that was when you got done with that, you felt like, I'm glad that's over. Am I right? I'm glad that is done. Because that was a test. I mean, it was a test. It was not an easy thing to do. Neither is staying committed to coming to instruction on Sunday mornings for 3 years. It's a test. And it's not one that we're giving you because we want you to fail or we're trying to, you know, see if you necessarily have what it takes to make it. But it's a test that we give you because we believe in you that you can do it. That God's Spirit lives in you. And it does. And you did. So you can be proud of that, but the reality is this, that the way we've tested you in confirmation pales in comparison to the way you'll be tested in the world, to the way you'll be tested in your life. You can't compare it. I mean, we hope it prepares you for it, and we believe that it does. But some of you mentioned in your statements of faith, you're already being greatly tested by the world right now. Greatly tested by the world. And you testified how God is bringing you through that. You know, some of the questions I've gotten since I've been here at Cross of Christ almost 3 years from students are the hardest questions I've had. I remember one middle school girl asked me, what do I tell my friend who cuts herself? We've had conversations about suicide because kids have committed suicide at Boulder Creek. I'll never forget a prayer request I got during VBS. This is from one of our elementary school kids, and it was just scratched in the, you know, kind of messy handwriting, and it said, God, please bring my dad back from heaven. The way that we are tested in the world, it pales in comparison to the way that you've been tested in confirmation. That isn't to say it's a small thing, what you've accomplished, it's a great thing. But out in the world, you will be tested more than you were leading up to this day. But there is nothing you will go through that is harder than what Jesus went through for you. It's described right here in Isaiah 50. He went through this for you. He came to the world that He loved and created, and the world mocked Him, spit upon Him, beat Him, crucified Him. He was forsaken by His Heavenly Father on the cross. And that's something we will never know because Jesus experienced it for us. We will never know what it's like to be removed from the presence of God. I mean, the God who sustains our lives right now, that we wouldn't be able to continue breathing and living and working and doing the things that we do if God pulled away His hand for a second. It would all go away. Jesus experienced that on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. So confirmands, though the world will test you, there is nothing the world can throw at you that Jesus hasn't overcome. And He will be with you through all of it. Verses 7 to 9 is a powerful section in here, where after the servant describes the beating, the mocking, the spitting, he says, verse 7, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? Though in this world, in this life, is going to challenge you and it's going to test you, and though you will experience these things, you will experience disgrace in your life and shame in your life and condemnation in your life, that is not where it will end because of Jesus. Because he helps you, he has gone through those things ahead of you, and he goes through them now with you. If I were to summarize what this means for you, is that your future is secure in Jesus. Now, how many of us in this room have ever said, "What is this world coming to? What is the world coming to?" I've said it, I'll admit it. I've said it. I've looked around at our culture becoming more self-centered than other-centered, seeking ease and comfort over sacrifice. And I thought, what is this world coming to? And students, confirmands, you may have heard adults say this to you. Maybe. And maybe you've heard adults say that to you as though you're the cause of what's happening in this world. But for you all, you confirmands, that is not the case. That is not the case. And your future is secure not because you come from good families. Your future is secure not because you get good grades or go to a great school. Your future is secure not because you're talented or you're athletic. Your future is secure because of Jesus. Because of him and him only. Now, one of the greatest tests that you will face in your life is unreturned love. It's where you love someone and your love to that person is not returned to you. That's what it's talking about with the servant in Isaiah 50, where the servant loved the world, loved the people he came to, and the love was not returned to him. When I was in high school, or just going into high school, I'm pretty sure that's how my family felt about me. I forsook my family, more or less, didn't really want to be associated with them, didn't think they were that cool. You know, my dad was a pastor, for crying out loud. That wasn't cool. But my friends were cool. And so what I did, was my dad was a pastor, he was an easy target, I made fun of my dad around my friends. And I am not proud of that. But that's what I did. You know, it's funny, I wouldn't make fun of my mom. You know, if someone would say, your mom a joke or whatever, as I know some of our confirmands are fond of, because I've heard them. If someone made fun of my mom, I would say, you want to try saying that again about my mom, as though I could do something about it if they did? But that's because it was still cool to stick up for your mom, but it wasn't for my dad, or at least that's how I felt. So I mocked, I made fun of, I didn't return the love of my parents. Years, throughout my high school years, into my college years, and then things started to change for me at that point. But you know what? My parents kept loving me, though I was not returning that love to them. And now, we can look back on that time, and honestly, we laugh about it in our family. You know? We say things like, well, I guess the moral of that story is don't make fun of a pastor, you might become one. It could happen to you. happened to me. But we laugh about it because it's forgiven. They've forgiven me. I've forgiven them. They weren't perfect parents either. They provided for me this grace that can only come from knowing the servant. The servant who has been tested with an unreturned love, and he proved faithful. And now my love is being tested by my 1-year-old and my 3-year-old and my 5-year-old and my 7-year-old, and they're not even high school students yet, and it's my love's not always getting returned, and I'm getting gray hairs. But Jesus has experienced the worst of the testing that you will, even unreturned love, and he came out victorious on the other side. And I know for our confirmands, you expressed this on Friday night, that you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. My prayer for you is that you would be able to do that through the power of the servant, Jesus, from whose love no one can ever separate you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus, for the truly incredible grace that we have in him, that he went through an unreturned love that we will never know, and we thank you for that. But Father, we all have experienced that in this room to a certain extent in our own lives. Some of us are still walking wounded from that. So we pray that the love of Jesus would heal us, that it would enable our hearts to be able to love again, and also that you'd give us your Spirit to be able to see the people in our lives who love us dearly, not take them for granted, but love them and thank them for their love for us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.